I feel like we've all been taught to be scared of the sun, avoid it, reapply constantly, cover up immediately. But recently, I started questioning that. The sun actually plays a role in things like your mood, sleep, and hormones. So I'm not avoiding it anymore. I'm just more intentional about what I put on my skin when I'm in it. A lot of conventional SPFs are filled with things like hormone-disrupting chemicals, seed oils, and synthetic ingredients, so I started looking for something simpler. That's what led me to Primally Pure's SPF. It's super minimal, only 9 ingredients, using non-nano zinc, plus really nourishing things like tallow and mango butter. I've been using their sun cream, and it honestly feels more like skincare than sunscreen. Lightweight, not chalky, and just easy to wear. So if you've been rethinking your sunscreen, Primally Pure is one of the best places to start.
When I'm looking for high-quality furniture that doesn't break the bank, I don't have to settle for subpar styles because I can find everything I need at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, I can score everyday low prices on pieces that real customers love, like Consumer Reports recommended mattresses, real marble dining sets, and the best-selling modular Bob's sectional, which has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So stock up on five-star style and visit Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
Hey parents, we all know summer break is for fun, but it's also a time when kids can start losing some of the progress they made during the school year. We want them to stay engaged and keep those young minds active. Between camps, vacations, and family time, it can be tough to keep a learning routine going. That's why I want to tell you about IXL. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. From pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's an easy way to keep learning going through the summer and helps kids feel confident heading into the next school year. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. And get this, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. That's a huge endorsement. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
NYYST. This is New York, Yankee Sports Talk. Yep. Swinging for the fences, knock it out the park. This is New York, Yankee Sports Talk. Woo. Christian and Chris, of course, SGR. This is New York, Yankee Sports Talk. Call me New York, Yankee Sports Talk. Record, rain or shine, grab your shades and umbrellas. NYYST, you're hanging with the fellas.
Welcome back. This is episode 381 of the NYYST podcast. We are presented by NYY Underground. I am your host, Christian, as always joined by my co-host, Chris.
You.
And SGR.
Okay.
This is a special episode here. This is a John Sterling tribute episode. But before we get into saying goodbye to the legendary John Sterling, we want you to make sure you hit the subscribe button and subscribe to the NYYST podcast wherever you get your podcast. Subscribe to NYY Underground on YouTube and make sure you tell everybody we are the official podcast. I did it so well last episode and then I just went back there.
Okay.
Well, who cares? We are the official podcast of Odyssey, okay?
Okay.
Anyway. Yeah, we did it.
We did it, okay? And John Sterling did it. He called it a career after 36 years of being the voice of the Yankees on, it was Tuesday, I believe, right? Was when the news came down?
Tuesday.
This week.
And it was pretty crazy when you think about it, because Andrew Marchand, that little dweeb, wrote a story that said that it was basically going to be announced on Friday that the Yankees were going to say John Sterling's done. And then it just like happened so fast that the Yankees announced it was official statement from Sterling. He's done. Retired.
It was almost like they really didn't want the news to leak, and it did.
Because Andrew Marchand's a dweeb.
Right. And then they just got ahead of it and just had it happen.
That'd be unfortunate.
Well, Andrew Marchand reported that it was due to health concerns. I mean, Johnny's going to turn 86 this year. So, I mean, it was definitely believable, especially when you realize that he didn't call the Miami Marlins series, which was the second home series of the year. You knew he was going to cut back on travel, but for him not to be there at Yankee Stadium, you know, it did kind of raise some red flags. But then Sterling said he was on with Evan and Tiki later on in the day and just said that he's tired and it was time.
Yeah, I mean, you can speculate all you want. What's the point, right?
There is none. It's his health, so, I mean, we're not going to speculate on anything. The guy's, like we said, he's going to be 86 years old. I'm 40, and I couldn't keep up the schedule that he kept up. So, I mean, if he just decided after that first home series against Toronto that he's too tired for this shit, that's what it is. I mean, so the man has led a legendary career here, and he's done other things besides calling the Yankees. He was the voice of the Islanders. I believe he called the Atlanta Hawks basketball also in his career.
Braves.
Braves baseball before he came to New York here. And we got to stop placating Michael Kay's feelings here by differentiating the two by saying John Sterling was the radio. John Sterling is the voice of the New York Yankees, plain 100%, and simple.
100%.
And look, this isn't about Michael Kay. It's about Sterling, but I'll say
it
this.
It is, but that's why I'm saying that. He is the voice. There's no differentiating right between radio. He's the voice of
and
the
you
Yankees.
Don't have to, because I'll tell you what, the pieces fall in line. Hate or love Michael Kay, he's the next guy to me who's a staple outside of the players and managers and all of that, that will feel this way about whether you love him or hate him. I don't really care for Michael Kay that much, but regardless, let's just put that aside and just say that there's no differentiating the two, radio or television, especially because people forget, or some people aren't old enough to remember, that they were both a team.
Were a team. That's right.
They were a team. And growing up, you know, I tweeted this the other day. There, as a Yankee fan, growing up as a Yankee fan, especially through the dynasty years and all of that, there are certain staples of your childhood outside of the players that you can't escape. And for me and SGR, even though he was a little younger at the time, but he was still awake during these times.
Sure.
TV wasn't like it was now, where everything's on a different time span and fucking 2 minutes delayed and 10 minutes ahead and all that. Back in the day, I remember with my dad muting playoff games towards the end and having the radio on, and because nothing felt more acceptable or right than John Sterling making that call.
We had TiVo in the living room. We would pause the game in the living room. Then we had this little radio thing in our kitchen that we'd have to pause it, and Chris would be at the radio trying to sync it, and I would be sitting there waiting to press play again. So we had Sterling's voice lined up with the play-by-play of the live commentary, color commentary.
And looking back on it now, because he has announced his retirement, I'm glad that I did this, because the Yankees were on Apple TV second game of the year, and you were able to switch to John and Susan.
Yes.
So I'm glad that I did that, and I watched an entire game called by John and Susan, knowing that now we'll never have that opportunity again. So I'm glad that I did that. And even though, like, it's not the best presentation because you lose a lot of the crowd sounds and the crack of the bat, just now to know that you had that one last opportunity to listen to the two of them together was pretty cool. And also, great, I just want to say this is nothing against Justin Shackle, who's been calling games recently. He does a good job, right? I'm not saying that he doesn't, but when I listen to Boomer and Gio in the morning, especially after a big Yankee win like the Yankees had on Wednesday night, you want to hear them play the cuts of Sterling getting excited, the big moments like Trevino's hit, Stan's home run, Judge's big hit, and the Yankees win. You want to hear that. And then they got into a sidebar about something, and they didn't have enough time to really play the highlights of the game, and I'm saying to myself, oh, I'm not even upset because it's not John.
Yeah.
It's like that. It's look, is John Sterling ever going to go down as the greatest play-by-play announcer? No. Is he going to go down as the most accurate play-by-play announcer?
No, certainly not.
But you know what I liken it to? John and even Susan, they're like our grandma and grandpa. There's a certain level of comfort when you hear the two of them. They're our team. John Sterling is our guy. Susan Waldman is our grandma. Yeah, she's our gal. Like, and now we'll never have that again. John Sterling was the soundtrack to the summer, the soundtrack to a lot of our youths, you know. And there was time, and before Susan got there, you know, he shared the play-by-play duties with Kay. He shared the play-by-play duties with Charlie Steiner. And then it was only until afterwards that he really became the sole play-by-play guy. But, you know, there's just a certain level of comfort that you'll never have again. And it'll just never be the same one out without John Cole and Yankee games.
I'll do you one better than listening to him on the Apple broadcast. And I swear on anything, I'm not making this up. It just hit me the other day. So a few episodes ago, I didn't have a voice. And I was at a wedding that weekend. And it was up in Connecticut, Massachusetts. It was like a split. It was like on the border, whatever. So I had a long drive coming home Sunday. And that drive coincided with the Yankee game. And it actually, when I was thinking back to it on Sunday, I still had a voice. It was going. I was screaming the night before, but it was going. But it was still there. And I listened to John Sterling's final game, not knowing that it was his final game of his career. And what got my voice was Giancarlo Stanton getting up to the plate with the bases loaded and John calling his final home run call of his career and me literally banging on my center console like a maniac and screaming at the top of my lungs. That got my voice.
Yeah, I would have missed that too, because we were texting in the group, whatever, and you guys mentioned how Apple does that. So right when you guys brought that up, I'm like, oh, I forgot about that. I threw him on. Great point, man. I'm very happy I was able to hear that one last call. And of course, it's Giancarlo. And you know, we'll play our interview in a bit. And remember, I think it kind of started where it was just for those home run calls. It was simply just burn, baby, burn. Then after a while, it kind of just kept picking up more steam, and he started to reinvent it. And he'll touch on that in our interview with him. But I mean, come on, dude. How often? I mean, I don't know about you guys, but especially like, let's talk Juan Soto for a second. When he hits his first home run, I don't know about you guys, but my immediate thought when that ball, before it even crosses the wall, is what's Sterling's call going to be for him? And stuff like that is what I'm going to miss the most, is that anticipation of the creativity that we were lucky enough to experience for all these years, from classic calls like Burn Baby Burn to a text message to the milkman delivers.
To Georgie Juice One.
Just the from players of the upper echelon all the way down to those guys that are quadruple A players. This guy made it so much fun, and he was so passionate, and he was such a hard worker and an inspiration to a lot of young people that are trying to maybe pursue a career like that, that if you just put in the work and you work your tail off and you grind and you go, and you might end up being the voice of the New York Yankees.
Well, I don't know if you saw this, Ryan, just to piggyback. Sorry, Christian, but I don't know if you saw this, but Judge had a statement that someone tweeted that he said literally the same exact thing you just said.
Mm-mm.
That when a new guy gets to the team, they sit on the bus and try to guess what Sterling's call is going to be.
That's great.
The players are just like us, man. They want to know who or what John's call is going to be for the new guy. And he, you know, Verdugo kind of got left out there because he hit his home run on a game that John didn't call.
So
would have been interesting to see what he would have done for Verdugo.
Tell you what.
Doogie does it.
Let me tell you.
Let the dog, dude, the Doogs out. Ooh.
That's
ooh.
A good one. Well, let me just say this. We've had so many like magical, unexplainable moments as Yankee fans. And the last one I can think of is Derek Jeter ending his career with a walk-off hit. Like, just things that if you put it in a movie, it wouldn't be believable. And I'm not saying this is going to happen by any means, but it would just be so Yankee-esque that Sterling joins the WFAN booth Saturday, right? I think he's going to be up with them for a couple innings. And Doogie gets up and hits a fucking home run while he's in the booth.
You think they'll lay out and let him call it?
Oh, come on, man. Yeah. You know he has it.
He's got it in the chamber.
You know he has it. Come on. Let me tell you something. John Sterling's sitting in the booth, and Verdugo hits a home run. I'm not trying to make... Look, the moment in itself is just going to be emotional. But I'm just saying, would it shock me if that happened to
us? You know what, though? And we're going
to
play this here in a second. I don't know if I want it. I want the Yankees to win, obviously, on Saturday. I'm going to be in the building. Obviously, want to see the win here. I don't know if when he's up in the booth, though, I want another home run hit.
You're right.
Because Giancarlo Stanton is going to, as of right now, is the last home run that John Sterling got to call. And you want to play that real quick?
Yeah, play it right now.
And the pitch hit in the air to deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. It's a grand slam. Non dimenticar. That ball sure traveled far. Giancarlo, he hits a grand slam deep in the left field seats. And the Yankees take a 5-1 lead.
I mean, it's just so beautiful for who John Sterling is, that he got to sing one last time, and that his final call is him singing. I mean, do you really? And I know it's not Judge or what Jeter or any of these Mount Rushmore Yankees. I know Judge is on. Shut up for a second. But these iconic, legendary Yankees. It's Giancarlo Stanton. But is there anything more apropos than him getting to sing his final?
No, and I'll tell you what, in his later years, no one can deny that Sterling has definitely fallen off a few ticks.
But that was the charm of Sterling. It is high, it is far, and you're ready to drive.
Wait, hold on, Susan.
Caught by Rizzo.
What am I missing here, Susan? There's an out on the board.
Wow, isn't that something?
It is high, it is far, it is a pop-up to the first baseman.
But here's the thing. It was
a certain charm about it.
Yes, of course. Absolutely. But it was also beautiful. And again, I can tell you this, experiencing it live, that there was no hesitation, that it was Giancarlo Stanton getting a genuine, authentic Stantonian blast. Mm.
And it was a grand slam too. I mean,
I almost got into a car accident. Okay. I'll peel the curtain all the way back.
That he got the call.
I jerked the wheel. I was in a one. I was pretty much driving down the wrong lane, screaming at the top of my lungs like a maniac because John Sterling made that fucking beautiful call and it put the Yankees where they needed to be.
And Ryan, you brought this up in a text. Kind of, you said you wanted them to play the Yankees. That should be the standard from now on. I don't like that the Yankees play Frank Sinatra after losses, and apparently they used to play the Liza Minnelli version, yeah, and then she got triggered by it. Don't play any. How about this? Don't play anything after they lose. Just walk out. Let us walk out in silence.
Yeah.
But from now on, starting on starting this series against Tampa Bay, obviously we're pre-recording this. It's we're peeling back the production here. It's Thursday night, so we don't know what happens in Friday's game. We're dropping this special to so you guys can listen on the way to the stadium Saturday morning. So hopefully, I don't know if it happened or not. I don't even know if the Yankees are, as we're recording this, or is even a discussion. But what I would love to see from now on going forward here is that walk-off situation or, Holmes gets out number three here. You hear over the loudspeakers, the Yankees win. And then right into Frank.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm telling you, if you don't have every hair on your body standing up at that point, you shouldn't be in Yankee Stadium.
Oh, let me tell you something. If I was Saturday, and I unfortunately can't be there, if I'm there Saturday, the Yankees win, and that plays before Sterling, I'm not just – I don't just have –
Sinatra.
Sterling plays before Sinatra.
Right, uh-huh.
I don't just have chills. I have fucking full-blown – I'm throwing up, and I have tears coming down my eyes, and I'm not ashamed of it.
And rightfully so.
And before we play the interview from 2019, for John joined us on our 100th episode as we're recording – who would have thought we would have even been here episode 381 when we were sat and recorded episode 100. But, Ryan, you brought up a text message, right?
Sure.
Everybody's been like, what's your favorite John call? That's such an underrated call right there.
That's a good one.
That's such an underrated one. I didn't hear anybody bring that up this week, but...
text message.
Right off the top of your head, we'll start with Chris. What's your favorite one?
Oh, it's so tough, man.
All right, Ryan, what's your favorite one?
Right, I mean, kind of off the top of my head, one I was talking about before was as fun. And this is what makes Sterling so great is Melky Cabrera's. I love the Milkman. The Milkman delivers. Think just fucking the Milkman delivers.
Yeah, simple, you know what, bro?
I love that one.
Can I kind of piggyback that there?
No, find your
own. I'm going to go Robbie Cano. Yeah. Oh, don't you know?
Oh, that's a classic. But classic.
What's yours?
A Thriller from Godzilla.
Oh, shit.
What are some honorable mentions here?
It's an A-bomb from A-Rod.
Well, did you hear about the A-bomb from A-Rod story real quick?
Yeah, because somebody said
they thought
it
was offensive, and then A-Rod's
mom liked it, and then he kept it. Yeah.
I have two quick Sterling stories from our interview that I want to peel back the curtain a bit.
What about for a guy that didn't hit a lot of home runs, Romy, my homie?
Yeah, what about... Shelly Duncan, the Yankees run on Duncan. That's, I mean, it's a fucking classic.
An ad.
I have a couple Sterling stories to peel back the curtain that only we could tell, but I don't know if you want to wait until after the interview to just say them and close out the show. They're very quick. It's nothing.
Oh, you mean how we called them during brunch?
No. Yeah, well, that's one of them. But
The Giambino.
Oh, the Giambino is a classic.
How about the Bam-tino? Georgie Juiced One is always one of my favorite.
Voight hits one to Detroit.
Yeah, but I felt that one was so forced, though.
You didn't like that one.
But Gio Urshela, the most happy fella.
Yeah, come on.
David John makes long gone. Andujar hits it far. He's getting Miggy with it.
But, I mean, just a classic. All rise. Here comes the judge.
Absolutely.
It's judgment day. And actually, he gave the singing Stanton call and not the Giancarlo. No si puesto parlo.
How about Guardy Goes Yardy, too? I mean, that's a fucking classic.
It's a Guardy party.
Higashioka, the home run stroker.
I mean, you could go on all day, man. Just the,
all day.
That was the charm of John Sterling. And we're going to miss him in the booth, man. And you know what? It's just the banter with him and Susan. And you knew when the Yankees weren't playing bad, John was cranky and he did not hold back. And you got to love that about him.
I mean, what is this team doing, Susan?
Well, Susan, I mean, you know, it would behoove the Yankees not to hit into nine double plays today.
They wouldn't be able to hit a beach ball.
You know, Susan, if they could just advance a runner here. When the Yankees could not hit with runners in scoring position,
bunt.
I mean, I almost, not that you ever wanted the Yankees to struggle with runners in scoring position, but John was so goddamn entertaining, ripping the team when they could not advance runners and they could not come up with a big hit. Just listening to John just go on about that was just, it was worth the pain that you were watching.
Yeah, man.
So let's get into the interview here. We'll play it. It's back from 2019. So if Chris and I sound like a bunch of idiots, that's well, we still do.
But I was there. I was just silent.
Yeah, you were silent in the background.
You were the lucky one. No, it was honest. I'm being honest, and you guys are going to hear it in a second. It's actually a really great interview. I thought we did a good job, but it wasn't us. I mean, we were just kind of there. He gives us things that we didn't even ask for, and that's just typical John Sterling.
So here it is now, the re-release replay of our interview with John Sterling from 2019 from episode 100.
If your skin or honestly your nervous system feels a bit overwhelmed, this is your sign to simplify. I've been reaching for Primarily Pure's Blue Tansy products anytime my skin feels reactive, irritated, or just angry. Blue Tansy is naturally this beautiful sky blue oil that helps calm redness, inflammation, and dryness almost immediately, and you feel it working. What I love is that this isn't just skincare. It's a full head-to-toe ritual. From their cult favorite Blue Tansy deodorant to their soothing collection and body oil, everything is designed to work with your body, not against it. Their formulas use real biocompatible ingredients. No fillers, no fragrance, just ingredients your skin actually recognizes and responds to.
Hey parents, we all know summer break is for fun, but it's also a time when kids can start losing some of the progress they made during the school year. We want them to stay engaged and keep those young minds active. Between camps, vacations, and family time, it can be tough to keep a learning routine going. That's why I want to tell you about IXL. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's an easy way to keep learning going through the summer and helps kids feel confident heading into the next school year. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. And get this, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. That's a huge endorsement. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Finding the right furniture for my home can be hard, especially when I'm looking for trendy, high-quality pieces that won't break the bank. Luckily, at Bob's Discount Furniture, I can shop the latest styles and customer favorites with tons of five-star reviews, like Bob's Real Marble Elm Dining Set, which has over 600 five-star reviews, the Copper Radiance Mattress, which over 400 Bob's customers say will give you five-star sleep, the ultra-comfy Phantom Reclining Sofa, which boasts over 1,000 five-star reviews, and the customizable modular Bob's Sectional, which not only costs just $250 per piece, but has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So when you're ready to score five-star style for every room in your home at everyday low prices, listen to the smartest shoppers around and stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Chris and Christian of the NYY Sports Talk on with John Sterling, the voice of the New York Yankees. John, how you doing this afternoon?
Well, marvelous. It's a beautiful day, and in just a few days I'm leaving for spring training, so I'm very up at the moment.
Well, that's good to hear. We're all excited for the 2019 season to begin. Your first season with the Yankees was in 1989. You've been with the club over 30 years now. You've seen it all. The Yankees have won 5 World Series in that time. I know it might be hard to go through all those memories, but is there one game that really stands out to you that you've called out of all the games that you've called?
Well, you are right. It's impossible to pick out. I haven't missed a game in my Yankee 30 years.
Which is absolutely incredible.
In the Torrey era, Joe managed 12 years and they made the playoffs 12 years. Well, that's a lot of big games, but anyway, to get to your question, to give you a good answer, I always cite the 3 games in Atlanta in 96 in the World Series, down 0-2. An Atlantan writer who I knew very well, Mark Bradley, wrote an article. Don't forget, the Braves had won in 95. And he had written an article when the Yankees got to town that they're really not playing the Yankees of 96. They're playing the Yankees of 1927. And this Atlanta Braves team could be called the greatest team in baseball. So the World Series, in effect, was over. And so the Yankees had to win a game, and they did. And now it's 2-1, and they're down 6-0 in the 6th in game 4 and get 3. And then Leyritz ties it with 3 in the 8th, and the Yankees shocked the Braves. They won in the 10th or 11th inning. And the final game in Atlanta, it was Pettit beating Smoltz 1-0. And you go on and on and on. But I always think of those three games as the three most exciting, greatest games in a row. And then, of course, Joe Torre's brother gets the heart transplant on the off day Friday. And on Saturday night, the Yankees win the World Series at Yankee Stadium. Those were pretty good games.
John, I was listening to you on the radio during those games as a young kid, muted the TV and had you on the radio for those. So I was right along with you. But like you said, you haven't missed a game in 30 years. So you've seen a lot of games, a lot of different teams. I'm sure it's easy for you to pick out a handful of Yankees that have always been exciting to call a game for. Any opposing players that stand out to you that you've always been excited for to call a game?
Oh, yes. First of all, Boston had their great 3 and 4 hitters, David Ortiz and Manny Ramirez. And in Seattle, Edgar Martinez just tortured the Yankees. So, no, I've seen, obviously, you broadcast every game. Also, didn't miss a game with the Hawks and Braves in the 80s in Atlanta. So really it's 38 years. Well, I've seen a lot of great players. And also, I was raised in New York as a child and immediately became a basketball, baseball, football, hockey fan. And I love seeing the visiting players come in. Oh, I rooted for the New York teams, but I love to see the visiting players and the greatness of the visiting players that would come into the Garden or to, you know, Ebbets Field, Polo Grounds, and Yankee Stadium. So I've always loved the other players as well.
Well, John, what the Yankee fans love about you is your home run calls. They've become iconic. The first one was Burn Baby Burn, if we're not mistaken. Where did that come from? Was that something that you had planned out if Bernie got a big hit in a certain game? Or was that just like spur of the moment thing that came to you?
No, they all were spur of the moments until this thing, and I'm happy about it, became a cottage industry. And you have to do something for everyone. But in the beginning, it just was certain players, Bernard King, Dominique, of course, with the Hawks. And then when Bernie, I don't know why I said it, Burn Baby Burn, and it caught on, and he loved it. And that was kind of the beginning of it with all the Yankee names.
When a Yankee sign a new player, just to piggyback that, it's like, the thing that the fans ask, the very first question they ask is what John Sterling's home run call is going to be for that new player.
And you get 100 different guesses as to what it's going to be, and you always surprise us somehow.
Did you ever think that it would take off and be this major thing inside the Yankee universe amongst the fans?
Oh, of course not. I mean, it just happened. I said what I said. I was doing a game in Atlanta. Excuse me. And I was on TV, and Atlanta was a double-deck stadium. So the ball was always, you know, measured against the stands. In other words, if the ball was going out, you knew it because there weren't any open spots. And Dale Murphy was up, and Doc Gooden of the Mets threw a breaking ball and hung it. And so I said, breaking ball. And you knew that Murphy was going to hit it, and he hit it. And I said, you know, it is high, it is far, it is gone. That just came out of my mouth. So as did Burn Baby Burn and the Giambino and all that nonsense. And they all caught on, and I'm eternally grateful to the fans for enjoying it and liking it. And it's become, as I say now, you know, you have to say, well, what are you going to say for Tulowitzki? What are you going to say for LeMahieu? And so I have to come up with something.
Do you have a favorite of all the ones that you've come up with?
You know, I don't know if it's a favorite, but I know the most, the ones that I've heard the most are, you know, like A-Bomb from A-Rod and Robbie Cano, Don't You Know, and things like that. Those you hear all the time.
Well, John, you've been the voice of the best franchise in all sports for 30 years. Again, might be a difficult question for you to come up with an answer for, but what would you say is the most humbling moment of your professional career with the New York Yankees?
I was so excited when I got the Yankee job. And I had done the Braves now for 5 years, but I was like the junior member of the four-man group. Great group, Ernie Johnson, Skip Carey, Pete Van Wieren. But now it was my team and my game. And the first game I did was exhibition game with Jay Johnstone at West Palm against the Braves. The Yankees were then in Fort Lauderdale. Now, I'm not sure I know what you mean by humbling. It might have been after the Yankees won the World Series in 96. Now, you're in a car going up Broadway, and you're hearing millions of fans do your calls, and the cops who are walking along the side are doing all the calls. Well, I guess that was pretty humbling.
I'd say so. In your career, as you mentioned, you've done MLB, NHL, NBA, and you know, some college football in there. Do you ever wish you could go back and do some of those other sports again? Or once you settled into the Yankees, you never even thought back to those other sports?
Oh, no, I did a Nets game this year. Yes asked me to fill in on a Nets game, and I loved it. I got all excited about doing basketball again. But as far as looking back, every one of us looks back on your life and say, gee, I wish I had done this or when I wish I'd done that. I was telling someone about a college choice that I made, and I made the wrong choice. And if I had gone to this place, well, and then we both laughed and said, well, it's kind of worked out. So I don't look back, you know, I'm amazed that it's worked out the way. I'll tell you how good it's worked out. I think I'll leave you with this. I read a book on the making of High Noon. And so they went into Gary Cooper's life. And in the early 30s, when he was becoming a star, he made, just by luck, he made three fabulous movies that will last for all time. And Tom Hanks, who's probably the greatest actor of our generation, who not only does all these great movie parts, but everyone is different. He becomes a different character every time. And he mentioned about Gary Cooper's three movies that he made almost in a row. And he said, any actor would love to have any one of those credits. So what I'm going to tell you is how lucky I am, how fortunate I am. I've had great jobs in this business, well, let's say for the last 55 years. And any broadcaster would have loved to have had the jobs. I'm not patting myself on the back. The jobs themselves were big jobs. I mean, I was very young. I did a wild talk show in Baltimore on radio, and then it went to TV as well. And then I got the MCA job, sports director, and I was doing all these play-by-play sports as well as the talk show. And then I went with the Nets for a couple of years and to Enterprise Radio, which only lasted 9 months, talk show, and the Washington Bullets. And then I landed the job in Atlanta. And I did a talk show for a year. Then I did the Hawks and Braves for 8 years. And that led to the Yankee job. So any one of those credits would be a very good broadcasting credits. And so I've been very fortunate. So I know it's a long answer. I forget what your question is. The answer was so damn long. But anyway, I've been very, very fortunate and very happy about it.
Well, John, we can't thank you enough for spending a few minutes with us here on this Saturday afternoon. We believe it's next Saturday, right? You and Susan will be broadcasting the first spring training game of 2019. You'll be in Fort Myers for the Yankees and Red Sox.
Yes. As a matter of fact.
Exciting stuff.
I didn't even think of it a week from today. And then in Port Charlotte against the Rays a week from tomorrow. And so we'll have kicked off the exhibition season. So, just like everyone else, I'm very excited about baseball. The Yankees have within themselves, within the clubhouse right now, a team that's good enough to go all the way. Now, I'd be lying to you if I told you I knew they were going all the way. The Red Sox can do that. Houston can do that. And over in the other league, you know, you have teams like the Dodgers and Cubs and almost every team in the National League East. So, but anyway, that's the fun of it. We'll find out what happens when it happens. And by the way, no matter how many shows you listen to, how much MLB you listen to, internet, no one knows what's going to happen. So it'll be a surprise for all of us.
All right, John, thank you very much for doing the interview. And we'll be looking forward to listening to you and Susan call the Yankee games in 2019.
Thanks, John.
Well, bless you. Thank you very much.
Primally Pure just launched their Blue Tansy Body Butter, and it's more than a moisturizer. It's a full body exhale. This is their best-selling body butter formula, reimagined with calming Blue Tansy. It's a rich, whipped body moisturizer packed with barrier-building grass-fed tallow to deeply nourish dry, compromised skin. The texture is cloud-soft but ultra-replenishing. It melts in, protects against moisture loss, and leaves skin visibly smoother and more supple. And the scent? Soft Blue Tansy, lavender and sandalwood. Fresh, subtle, and elevated. If you already love the Blue Tansy deodorant or body oil, this is the perfect next step.
Not all electric vehicles are designed the same. Toyota Electric is built to work for you. Grounded in years of proven engineering, it feels intuitive from the start. The Toyota BZ for smooth, everyday driving. The BZ Woodland for all-terrain capability. The all-new CHR for an instant, responsive drive. It's not just electric, it's Toyota Electric. We make it easy. Toyota, let's go places.
I don't even know what to say, man, after listening to that again. It's just amazing that of all the things that we've been able to do with this podcast since 2017, that is still number one for me, getting to interview him.
Yeah, and so I'll just, you know, to go off that, I'll tell my two quick stories. One of them, the first one, I don't know necessarily that we've talked about in depth, the three of us. But I just want anyone still listening to just kind of envision and put yourself in my shoes for a second. So we get Sterling's number, and we're just three idiots who have done 99 episodes of a podcast. We've had on some big guests at the time, but nothing even comes close to John Sterling. And in the times that we live in now, no one wants to talk to anybody to begin with, right? If you can avoid talking to someone on the phone and you can send a text, or you can order your food through DoorDash as opposed to calling up and asking,
you'll pay $87 for delivery fee just not to talk to another human being.
And I'm an outgoing person, so that's me saying something like that. And so I take my phone out and I say, it's time to stop being a bitch. It's time to contact John Sterling.
Yeah, because we had that number for a while and we're just waiting.
We had it for a while. We were
like, yeah,
on it.
If we're not going to do it for episode 100.
Right. And I stupidly, I send him a text. And I won't go into what the text said, but I hit send and it came up green. And so immediately I'm gone, Jesus Christ, he probably didn't even get it. We're what, 20? I'm 29, 30. Again, we haven't been doing this long. I just want to text back, yes or no. Even if it was no, I'd at least be okay. 30 seconds after I hit send, my phone starts ringing. And it says John Sterling. And I'm going, holy fuck. John Sterling's calling my cell phone right now. And I answer and I was like, hey, John. He goes, hello, who is this? And I explained to him and he goes, oh, listen, fella, whatever he called me. He's like, I still have a flip phone. I don't text. And I was like, oh my God, John Sterling's talking to me. And then he goes on for about 10 minutes about how everyone makes fun of him on the bus for having a flip phone.
I remember this now. This is crazy, bro. Complete stranger. He's just
he went on for, I couldn't even talk. John Sterling. I was jumping in the shower. And John Sterling, I'm telling my wife, you put the kids to bed. I have John Sterling on the phone.
With John.
And he won't shut up about how he has a flip phone. And then if I need to contact him, I just need to call him. And and I'm just so in awe. It was just so tough to even absorb what he was saying. But the conversation pretty much ended with, John, we have our 100th episode coming up. It would be an absolute honor if you would join us just for 15 minutes. I was not expecting a yes. And of course, without hesitation, he said, I'd love to. We set it up for a Saturday morning, I believe. It was preseason. It was a week away from the Yankees reporting to from their first WFAN spring training game where he was going to be on the radio. And that leads us into the interview. And then what you guys didn't hear in the interview is an hour and a half or so before, we called him during our scheduled time, which was around like 11 a.m., I'd say, maybe 12. And John's a late riser. I think everyone knows that. We called him, and he was kind of thrown off because he was heading to brunch. And he was like, oh, my God, I have brunch. And then we hung up the phone, and now just again, put yourselves in our shoes. We're so nervous to be talking to John Sterling that you get to that point where you hit the send button to call, and for it to just not pop off at that point and just get through the interview, to have to sit through another hour and a half of the anxiety and anticipation. And I don't know, maybe I'm wrong about this, but I don't think we really expected at that point to even get him back on the phone.
No, I was stunned that we got him back on, because once I once he said he was going to brunch, I was like, that's basically it.
Mm-hmm. So but, I, again, two stupid stories, but stories that I am so grateful that really only we kind of have.
But then we were like, during the interview, we were like, okay, we're not going to, let's get to the point here, get the interview done this way. We don't waste his time, because now he's an 80-year-old man that just had brunch. And he probably wants to go home and take a nap. And like, he's the one that kept expounding upon these stories. He's the one that gave us, you know, all that, you know, and that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't have to be as, you know, as kiss-assy with anybody really, that if I don't want to be, because there's no point in it. But when I say that I cherish that interview, I cherish the time that he gave us. I'm so grateful that he was so gracious with his time. It's because he didn't have to be. All the circumstances were pointing against it happening. And he made a promise. He stuck to it. And we've interviewed people that said they were going to do it. We got them on the phone, and they were complete D-bags that. And they were just basically like, so how do you think the Yankees are going to do this year? Good.
Right.
Not John. You could have got one-word answers out of him, but he was ready to give you a good interview, tell you stories, make it worth your time, man. So I, you know, that's what I'm saying. That I'm hoping that the only other thing that will surpass that moment is that the day that we get to hit record, and hopefully it's in October of this year, that we're on here and I say, welcome to the show where we can finally say the Yankees are world champions. That is the only thing for me that will surpass that moment that we got to interview John Sterling.
Yeah, and I'll end with this. Well, first I'll say, you heard in the interview, I mean, to your point, he gave us such long answers. He said himself he forgot what the question was. But I'll end by saying this. Honestly, a simple but the most genuine thank you that I could give, because to people who aren't real fans, it sounds so silly and stupid. But when I say he's a staple of my childhood, I don't just mean, you know, fun times at the beach or, you know, family vacations and stuff like that. Things that occur, if you're lucky, numerous times in your life. I mean more of, as you become an adult, there's very few things that you hang on to that you're as passionate about as an adult that you were as you were when you were a kid. And my love for the Yankees is something that hasn't wavered. Sure, there's things that take priority that wouldn't have when I was younger, but my passion and true love for this team has never wavered, even if it sounds like it has at times. And I will never disassociate his voice with some of the best memories and moments with my dad, with my brother, and just some of the happiest times like watching the Yankees win those games, and I know they didn't win it in 04, but I always go back to this. It was the greatest baseball game I've ever watched. Sorry, 03. It was the greatest baseball game I've ever watched when Aaron Boone hit that home run. And I remember it like it was fucking yesterday. And I don't have any other memory that vivid at that age than I do having John Sterling on and watching that game with my dad at whatever time in the morning it was. I think we even had school the next day, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, maybe.
And it's just something that a simple thank you is really all I can say, but it means so much more than that.
Ryan, you got any closing words for John?
He's the only real voice that I know. When you turn on the radio, that's the voice that I've only heard when it comes to the Yankees. So it's going to be interesting to see what direction they decide to go in. If, you know, Justin Shackle's been his road replacement, if they just decide to give him that job full time, and, you know, whether it's him, whether it's someone else, someone will take the place of John Sterling, but he will never be replaced.
Perfect. Somebody will sit in his chair, but he will never be replaced. And the one thing you can say about John Sterling, that why as a Yankee fan you love him so much, is because he loves the team just as much as you do.
Yep.
He's not a guy doing a job. He said growing up in New York, he was a Yankee fan, and that was his dream job, to get to call the Yankee games for 36 years. And you could sense it in his enthusiasm and the way he discussed the team, and that his love for the team showed in his work. And that's why you had that connection with him, because you're listening to him because you love that team, and you're listening to a guy call that game, those games of the team that you love, that loves that team also. So that's why you had that bond with John. And John, when Susan would introduce him, he would say, "Well, Susan, I thank you. Well, John, we thank you." The other thing he would say is, "That's baseball, Susan. That's a career, John. Thank you very much for everything that you've done. We want to thank everybody for their continued support of the NYYST podcast. And if you're listening to this on the way to Yankee Stadium and John Sterling, you know, make sure you let him know how much you appreciate him." So thank you, John. Thank you, everybody, for your continued support of the show. And thank you to everybody for listening to episode 381. SGR.
Go Yanks.
Chris, say goodbye.
Boom.